Sherry Perry to introduce our next speaker.
Yes, all right. Okay, so how cool is it when you have someone that's like a brother to you? And I can tell you, how many of you have had Santiago come out and work with your team? Can I see your hands? Raise your hands high. Has he made a difference in your company? Yeah. Let's hear about it. Has he made a difference? Make some noise. There you go. So Santi has come out to visit with our company several times, and pretty much what I get is, when's Santi coming? Because he's so gifted. He has such a way with words. He has such a passion for what he does, and he has such a passion for people. Santi, I think some of my favorite things about you are your love for our country and the way that you speak about it. I'm super excited to hear the extended version of your story today. But my favorite thing about you, Santiago, is you are the best dad ever. You are such a good daddy, and that is such an attractive quality. So get on your feet and help me welcome Santiago Arango to the stage. Santi!
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and the key in American. The man who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today.
Just hearing that song. You know, as I was putting together this presentation, I kept thinking about how much can I share with y'all? How deep should I go based on everything that I went through? And the first thing as I started to put it all together is that I started thinking about when I was growing up in Colombia, I actually remember it all like a movie. Because it's so different where things are now than where things used to be. So I just want to just kind of kick this off real quick. Do you know anybody who actually grew up with an actual silver spoon and that's how they were fed? Nobody? That was me. We had everything. I mean, we had so much, it's not even funny. We had multiple homes. We had, I'm going to try to show you a picture of one of those homes. And we had it all. But here's one thing that I didn't have growing up. My dad was a business owner that was very successful, but he was never there. Anita was sharing about her relationship with her parents, and man, it was bringing back some memories about how terrible it was growing up when he was there. I asked for permission from him to share about how things used to be because he's a different human being now. We've been through a lot of pain, we've been through a lot of hurt, and a lot of healing. And so what I wanted to kick everything off today is just to share really something very simple. We've been talking about Zig. Those of you that were with us on Wednesday, we talked about what do you want to be, what do you want to do, what do you want to have, and what do you want to give. And today I'm going to share that everything of who I am goes backwards because of what I've been given. Because of that, I have what I have. And because of that, I do what I do. And because of that, I am who I am today. So, here's a picture of a very simple view that I remember very well growing up. This is actually an overview of this house right here. I try to find it on Google, and this is a little compound right there. You can't really see it from the top. But that's a five-story building. There should be music playing. I'm not kidding. I grew up listening to this. My brother used to play this in the piano almost every single day, or he practiced quite a bit. This was my life. We had one of these. We had another one in the city, another five-story, but this was actually an apartment in a very expensive high-rise. And that was our second one. And we had another one closer, well, about 4 hours away from the city, that we would go out and we would just have some fun and spend some time out there. When we started talking about how much money, what were your goals, you know what? We had it all at that point. So let me ask you a question. We talked about this on Wednesday for some of y'all that were there, but I just want to ask you, how many of you want to have, say, I don't know, $50 million right now? Anybody? You know, as they would say, those of you that don't raise your hands, you're lying about other stuff too, right? Like, but let me ask you this. What would you give for that $50 million? I mean, let's put it into perspective here, okay? You get $50 million or $100 million today, right now. How many of us would be like, woo, yes, how exciting. You're calling your family, your kids, you're calling everybody. Like, we're going to go on a trip today, y'all. This is going to be amazing. It's going to be great. Anybody in here say yes? But what if you had to give up waking up tomorrow? How many of you would give up waking up tomorrow for $100 million, $150 million, $200 million, $1 billion? So here's what every single one of you is telling me right now. You value more waking up every single day than you value even $1 billion. Start thinking about that gift that we get every single day when we wake up. And I'll tell you something. I was telling Heather this morning, my little girl woke up in the middle of the night. She was sick. She was throwing up. It was actually not last night. It was this morning. It was 1 a.m. My wife is like, honey, she's throwing up. Can you help? I'm like, of course, absolutely. What am I going to do? I go out there and I get a bucket. I'm trying to help her. And like, it's gross, right? But I'm walking over there and I get this sense of gratefulness that I get to do this. And it was wonderful just walking back and just giving her a hug. And it's all nasty and all, but still, she's right there. She's with me. And my wife is laying down. I brought her one too because she was kind of feeling sick after seeing my little girl. You know, two for one. But I was so grateful. Just so grateful. And I knew we were going to be here for another day. And I was already tired from yesterday. But I tell you something, it filled me with just energy. I was just ready to go. So try to go back to sleep after being so excited and grateful. Man, I tossed and turned for almost 2 hours. So I just started praying. And the only thing that I prayed is what I hope that comes through today is that it's his message and not mine. How many of you recognize this guy? Some of you know who this is. Some of you don't know who this is. It's a very infamous individual. At one point, they said that his wealth, if you were to put it in today's dollars, it would be somewhere around $180 billion. Nobody knows how much it truly was. No one has any idea. I grew up watching the news, and every single day I would see pictures of the most horrendous things that would be happening in different parts of the country. And I couldn't understand it. I mean, you're a kid. You don't know any different other than like, oh, that's just normal. That's just what happens. And I'll never forget the day that they found him and they killed him. And you should have just seen the excitement, the happiness of the people just couldn't stand it. It was like all of a sudden they had this freedom. But it wasn't over. You had these guys right here. Now you see what kind of guns they're holding. That's not like a tiny little gun, is it? Somebody would probably be able to tell me what that is. I don't know what that is, other than you can't just go to Walmart and get one of those. I know people talk about gun control and just all this stuff. I'm like, look, these people don't care about that. They're not going to buy it in a right way. How do you defend yourself from that? When those guys come knocking at your door. And that's what was happening to us. So if I'm a kid, I'm growing up in this environment, you got a lot of money, what do? You get hidden in a box, a metal box, away from everybody? Oh no, that's not what I did. I went out and I started partying. I'm not kidding. Those of you that recognize this song, this was me every day, just going out there and going crazy and partying. And I can't tell you the things that I was doing because I would be ashamed other than to say that that was a different person that I can't even picture. I was 12. My son just turned 12. I have a tattoo that my kids always look at, and it's like, hey, Daddy, what is that? And I say, oh, that's a mistake. It's a meditating alien. And I'm not kidding. So here's all that I'm going to say. No. So here I am, just, you know, living life, and I'm sleeping, and I had a dream. Now, this is kind of a weird one because I don't know where everybody is, spiritually speaking, or anything for that matter, but I'm just explaining this was me. I couldn't find the right picture to explain what this looked like, but in my dream, here I was walking up to a window, and there were these kind of white flowing curtains, and a little boy looks up at me and says, I love you. I had no idea what that was. No idea whatsoever. All I remember is it was so vivid, and I'm thinking, in English? That's all that came to my mind. Why am I seeing a little boy saying, I love you in English? Remember, I'm in Colombia. I speak Spanish over there. Sorry, I'm trying to keep my composure here as I'm sharing this. So here's a picture I have to show that might be difficult for some of you to see. But this is what was also happening. This is horrible. This should never happen anywhere in the world. Anywhere. So what was my mom doing at that time? She was helping in these different art environments, and they were drawing pictures of guns, these little children. And all that my mom would say is, if you see one of those, you run. And apparently the guys that are supplying this stuff did not like that. And they came knocking. And they started finding us. So we started moving. And we moved year after year after year, over and over and over. We didn't have one home now. because everything we sold and moved on. And every time that you moved, that wasn't easy. And as soon as the phone would start ringing again, we knew, it's almost time. So we get to a final point. We had nowhere to go. Nowhere. And I'll never forget, because it was terrible. I went out partying knowing that this was out there. And I did a lot of things that night. And I just got home and I got on my knees and I started praying. I didn't know God. I just started praying. I said, I don't know, Lord, who you are. I don't know where you are. I don't know how this all works, but either take me out or take me away. Because I can't do this anymore. And shortly after that, my uncle, who lived in Houston, said, hey, just come on over. We'll figure it out over here. So we sold the last few things that we had, and we came to Texas.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Yes, I was waiting for some of y'all to do it. So, can I share something? Just being honest from the very beginning. I thought that people in Texas rode horses to school. Remember, I am 16, 17 years old coming in. I know I'm about to go be a senior in high school. I'm like, am I going to have to ride a horse? Like, I've ridden horses before, but that, like, how long of a distance is this? Like, how do they do buses? I had no idea. And all I remember is this. It was January 5th, 2000. We came in to a private school, because in Colombia, you grew up going to a private school, as there was really no public education as you would know it. We come into this private school, and this private school was where everybody who got kicked out of all the other schools went to. And the first thing I walk in, they're like, oh, hey, man, where are you from? You're Colombian. You got some drugs. You know Escobar? Was he like your uncle or something? And I said, you know what? This is when I left. I don't want to go back to this. So all of a sudden, we changed. My uncle actually took what you would say ownership. I don't know. He became kind of my legal guardian so I could start going to school here in Texas. And then shortly after that, I go on this little trip down to Galveston. Can you see it? Yeah, you can kind of see the tattoo on there, right? Like that's. But one of my favorite pictures ever, because I used to have hair. But actually, because of the flag behind it. I gotta tell you something. Every single time that 4th of July comes around, when we sing together and we spend time together, my kiddos know they have to be around me because they'll start crying. Just standing over there as we were singing earlier and yesterday, I was crying both times because I'm so grateful. I came to the States. We applied for asylum. We were just talking about this with Jim. Do you all know any other country in the world that has millions of people dying to try to get into? Literally dying. I don't know what that looks like or the right way to do it, but all I knew is that I had to do this the right way. Applied for asylum. We got asylum. We got a green card, and my mom and I now were living in the United States, and we had to figure out we have to do something to make money. So we grew up with everything, and now we're going out there and cleaning homes. I went from having multiple people that would clean my stuff to going and now cleaning other people's stuff. And I'll tell you something, cleaning other people's toilets is not fun. Those of you that have somebody that comes to your home to clean your things, please treat them right. They're doing things that a lot of people just don't want to do. So the I-485, I'll never forget that because that was my first introduction to red tape, bureaucracy stuff. So we hire a lawyer. It's like, okay, the lawyers are awesome. They take care of everything. We paid, at the time, as $2,500 that we didn't have. You know how many toilets you have to clean for $2,500? Especially when you don't know anything that we knew back then about how to price. So what happened? They stole the money and took off. And we still needed the right stuff. So I started researching, how do you do this? How do you put it together? And this is really at the beginning of the internet. Filled it out. It all worked out only just because of God. And so here I am doing all this, and I meet this woman. Doesn't she look amazing? I had to double check with her, what picture can I put up? And I said, oh yeah, this that picture, the one that you look like you're in the cover of a magazine. Can I use that one? It's like, oh, that's a good one. Actually, this picture doesn't do it justice. She's prettier. So I meet her. We met in high school. We're teenagers, right? And we fall in love. And we just started dating. And then she asked this question. You want to go to church? And what am I going to say? I'm dating the most beautiful woman I've ever met in my life. Am I going to say no? I'm like, sure. I grew up every now and then going to church only when we wanted something. Only when we had to pay penance and get on our knees more just because we needed more of something else. And for the first time ever, I understood the difference between works and grace. There was nothing I could do to earn what Jesus did for me. Nothing. He did it. He paid the price. He died for me so that I could be free. But you want to know something? That other side, the works kept popping up. It's like, yeah, but you're not good enough. You're not tall enough, good looking enough. And remember all those years how much of a jerk you were to your mom? So I gave my heart to the Lord. And this song, if you hear these words, especially in the beginning, I want you to just hear these words in the beginning.
Oh, shame is a prison.
I was full of
shame.
Because I did terrible things and I don't deserve it. And I don't deserve it to this day, but Jesus paid the price for me.
Lifting me up from the ground.
And I was just full of this shame every single day. And I would look at my mom and we would go out and we would clean another home. And I would see her in pain from just working so hard. And I knew it, that I had caused a big pain in her life. But I'll tell you something. This song has made a big difference since I started listening to it just a few months ago because of the words. And I cannot listen to the whole song without crying. Some of you that were on our Tuesday webcast, I played it. And if you hear this part right now,
gonna hold my body down.
Nothing's gonna hold my body down. And there is no grave. There isn't one. It's empty. He's out. We are free. We're free. For the first time, I was given something that I couldn't get on my own, and it was salvation. salvation. And every single person that has never received this gift, I invite you to it because he waits with his hands wide open. And says, I love you. I love you. No ifs, no ands, no buts, just I love you. And I had to give in to that. Against my own ego, against my own beliefs, and give up of myself, my whole life. And it was the best thing that's ever happened to me. The best. This picture is a really cool picture. Howard invited me. It was a gift. We went to Atlanta, and that was at the event, John Maxwell event, with Simon Sinek and John Maxwell, and we got to eat breakfast with them, and it was really cool. I was like sitting over there, and they were up here, and they're talking. And I'm just like, you know, doing this over and over and over. I have to share that picture because actually, there's a lot of pictures that I have with Howard, but this one has a really good smile of both of us, and I really liked it, so I had to put it up here, too. I had a terrible relationship with my dad. AC said 7 years. Interestingly enough, that was the same time frame. I did not talk to my dad for 7 years. I had so much pain, so much anger, so much, you know, angst with everything that happened growing up, that I just wanted nothing to do with him. And then I met Howard. And Howard, honestly, he just showed me love like a father. I look at Christian, I told him just the other day, he's like my little brother. He shared in a way something from a dad that I never understood. And it changed me to be a really fantastic father right now, just based on what my kids tell me every day. So Howard showed me love. I didn't deserve it either. But it changed me. I was given. Then on September 16, 2009, also, we'll never forget this very special day. We go to this place with a whole bunch of people. And this was the day that I was going to celebrate to become an American. 8 years after arriving in the United States. And for the first time, hearing somebody say, my fellow American. This is the greatest country in the world. It's the best. It's not even close, y'all. If you go to a whole lot of other places, you will never find a place like this. Never. It breaks my heart to see the people that show so much hate towards this country. This country is amazing. It's the only country that you can hear over and over all these amazing stories from I lost everything to I became a millionaire, a billionaire, and then they're able to change thousands of lives. This is the land of opportunity. Don't forget that, please. It is. In this country, you can accomplish anything. I am so grateful for our military. I told Jim, it's like, dude, it's going to be hard coming after you, man. Just thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. You have made this country amazing. Think of it from somebody who came outside and is looking from an outside in. Thank you. Thank you. So here was the picture. It was right after the judge said it. to save my fellow Americans. And that felt amazing. By the way, guess who took that picture? I was given freedom. Freedom. Look, there's a lot of ugly things going on. There's a lot. But we need to remember that we have something in this country that just doesn't exist anywhere else. And one very powerful thing, did everybody in here know that freedom of speech protected in the Constitution doesn't really exist anywhere else? Did anybody know this? People, like, we should shout this from the rooftops. Because you can say it freely and no one can tell you you can't. Even if they disagree with you, it's okay. That's the beauty of what makes this country so great. We can work it out. We can do things. As long as we just keep on going and keep moving, we can accomplish almost anything that we want. I was given freedom, and I didn't deserve it. Zig said this quote, and this is one of my favorite quotes. Zig said, "You are what you are, and you are where you are because of what has gone into your mind. You change what you are, you change where you are by changing what goes into your mind." So I have a question. What are you allowing into your mind? Every single day. What are you allowing into your mind? What are you purposely putting into your mind? I truly believe that, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in our country today that are just listening to the wrong things. They've been told lies over and over, and they start to believe those lies. And they start to think that, oh, it's better somewhere else. And no, it's not. It's not even close. We have it so good. The question then is this. What are we listening to? What are we reading? And how are we passing it on to others? Can I tell you one of my favorite things? So I go in, I love doing bedtime with the kiddos. I do. Like almost every single night, and I'm up there with them, and we're laughing, and we're throwing jokes, and just all this. We just have fun. We enjoy the time. And I didn't know, but my son borrowed a book from my library. And I didn't know about it. I just saw a red book sitting next to, you know, his bed. On his nightstand. And it was Zig's book. I didn't know this, but every night he'd just turn on his light and start reading maybe a page, maybe two. But here's what I know. Those words of positive encouragement, just, they change him. He goes to a public school. I know we dog a lot about public schools and all these things going on, but who else can change them? I think of my children as the opportunity that I never had, and they're the light, the shining light inside of a bunch of other kiddos that may never know what it's really like to be free. They're just indoctrinated. They're just told and all these different things that all of a sudden they start to believe. So we have completely open and honest conversations with our kiddos. And sometimes they're very difficult conversations to have. And I know that in many cases people would rather not talk about it then get into these hard conversations about what's going on and what people are saying and what all these things that are going on. But you know what? It's worth it. They are the future. They are. Every single one of the children. And so when I think about those children with those guns, they were never given a chance. But here's the beauty. Every single one of us, every day, has a chance to change. And that's it. That's all we need. That's all we need. Just a little change. Just a tiny little change every single day will make all the difference to go all the way from to all the way over there. Even if you just do it a tiny bit every day, you'll get there. You just need another day. Time's going to come and it's going to go. I'm just going to ask you this. Are you going to be glad that you did? Or are you going to wish that you had? So because of what I've been given, this is what I have. This is my family right there. It's my wife, my daughter, my son. This was celebrating my 40th birthday, and guess who took that picture? Y'all, I never would have thought that I could have such an amazing life. Never. I never could have even imagined that it could be this good. Sherry was saying about being a daddy, and it's like, if y'all just knew the whole story of just even the miracle children that are right there. From doctors telling us you can't have children, doesn't matter what you do, don't even try. You're going to waste your money. And not just one, but two. So when my kiddos come to me and they say, Daddy, do you ever doubt that God exists? And I say, well, you know what? If I'm being honest, sometimes I do. But all I have to do is look at y'all. And remember, you're a miracle. And I live here because of a miracle. So because of that, because of what I have, this is why I do what I do. Every time that I get on a call with one of y'all, every single time that we get on a video call, every single time that we do one-on-ones, face-to-face, on Zoom, or whatever, when we're doing it first thing in the morning, or sometimes later on at night, when I get a call from someone, it doesn't matter. I pick it up and I do it because of this, all of this. How could I not? Someone was asking, hey, would you ever leave Howard? And I was like, are you crazy?
If you do, I'm going with you.
That would be crazy. I was going to school for electrical engineering. I was 3 years in. When Howard was talking about that little event back in the day that was, you know, kind of this big, I remember that. I remember Mark. I remember what Mark was like. And yes, he was rough. He was rough in the weirdest way. He had a big heart. It's this double-sided thing that was really, really good and really real. Which is something that we're missing sometimes. So here we are, we're at one of these events, and at that time I was working at Howard Service Company, and all I was doing is I was moving boxes and helping to set up and break down, and that was it. I was not really doing coaching, I was not doing one-on-ones, I was not doing any of this, I was working over there. But can I tell you what I started to love? Every single one of you. That went from I'm struggling in my business. I don't know how I'm going to make payroll. Like, I got just enough money in my bank account to shift over to this other account just so that I can make payroll. And I think I can just shift enough funds to make it go for another week. And they're struggling. And to go from that to seeing them again at another event, and they're on vacation. And they said, I haven't been on a real, true vacation in I don't know how many years. And I'm here, and my family's upstairs, and my kiddos are up there, and they're just having a good time. And can I just say how exciting that is that we get to do this? My heart opens up for this. I want every single one of you to experience all the freedom. You deserve it. You're building this country, every single one of you, every single day. So please, I know sometimes you feel like giving up, but don't. Just keep going. Change, improve, and keep going, because it's worth it. Every single day is worth it. That's why I do what I do, because of what I've been given, and because I get to have what I have. And because of that, I am who I am today. I realize that I am a son of God. That sets my foundation. Regardless of what's going on, that's set. I am a husband. I am a father. And I'm so grateful that I get to be that. And I am an American, and I love this country with all my heart. I get to be this. Every single day when I wake up, I don't care if there's the 100 million or 200 million or the billion or anything, I get to wake up. I get to have running water coming out of the tap. I get to look at my app and look at the Tesla just to see how much battery it has. And by the way, because I know somebody's going to give me a hard time later. You guys want to know why I want that Tesla? They're very fast. Number one, and it is the most American car that you can buy. Engineer, built, and most of the pieces come from here. So who am I? I am a phenomenal product. And every single one of you are a phenomenal product. You are. I will never forget when Howard shared that, because somebody else shared it up here on stage and it just stuck. My question is this: do you believe that? Do you believe that you were created for great things? After all, God don't make no junk. So here is one thing that I wanted to do, just in closing. And I wanted to play something for all of y'all.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved.
Christian, can you turn it up?
In liberating strife. Who more than self? spacious skies. For amber waves of grain. For purple mountain majesties.
God bless you and God bless America. Love you. Thank you. How you doing?
So proud of you.
Thank you.